I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee, start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And welcome.
Live and direct, ladies and gentlemen. Yours
live
truly, Cypher Sounds.
Live and direct.
Very famous in New York. I'm in Austin, Texas right now. Good evening.
And good evening. I am Peter Rosenberg. I'm very famous worldwide.
Oh.
Yeah. No, really only in New York also. And I am, and I wouldn't even say very because I'm honest. I'm like middling famous.
No,
in New
York. Like to lie.
Yeah, no, I know what the bit is. And I am in New York on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Right. Good it's for you.
Supposed to be rainy today. And we like we set out in our original episode that you probably haven't heard, we said we wanted to do Saturdays for recording. And I will tell you so far, this is the second time we've done it. I love the feeling and energy of the Saturday record.
I love it.
This is it.
I'm up early.
Always been on Saturday.
I'm up early anyway. I'm up early anyway.
Let's go.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Juan Epp is dead. You hear me? Juan Epp is dead.
Now, next week, by the way, Seth, I'm looking at my calendar here before we get into today's show. When do I get into Tampa?
Oh, Tampa, the most strip clubs per capita in America.
I get in at 1:44.
Mm-hmm.
So could you do like 3 o'clock from our respective hotels?
So we're doing the scheduling of Juan Epp on Juan Epp.
Yes, on Juan Epp. That's right.
That is the high quality of entertainment you get from us rebooting a dead podcast. Scheduling the next podcast.
Yeah, we will schedule the podcast on the podcast.
So I'm in Texas. You'll be, what time did you say? 1:40?
Wait, no, hold on. If we're going to, you know, if you wouldn't complain about it, here, if we're going to do scheduling and have people think it's a whack podcast, let's give it one app and let's schedule, but let's do it over Artifacts, Wrong Side of the Tracks.
Okay. Why?
So, because then it's one app.
Okay. Is this instrumental? Is this instrumental?
No, it's the vocal version.
Do-do-do-do.
But this way, if we schedule over it, it at least has a one app feel. But let's let them go first.
Oh, love this beat.
Tame one. The bad one ink flow master bastard with the magnum. I tags
up quick and then I steps to the exit when it's accepted. So good. So listen, I'm doing a side show in Texas in Dallas on that Saturday.
Some people describe your whole life as a side show.
So I got to figure out how to get – I got to do – if you're doing 2 o'clock, I got to do 1 o'clock. And
no, it'll be more like 2:30.
I'm 2:30.
2:30.
So 1:30 for me, I got to
– 2.
I got to figure out – I got to either get – I got to get to Dallas early.
Wait. How far is that?
3 hours. 3 hours.
Do you have a hotel? Are you staying there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to stay there?
We're doing 2 shows at night, me, Michelle Wolf, and Mo Ammer.
Oh, nice. That's your squad.
That's my squad. I got a good squad, man. I'm not going to lie.
So you open that, Michelle closes, and Mo Ammer is the sandwich, right? He's right in the middle.
No, I think this one Mo will close because it's being put together by Mo Ammer's manager. So I'm sure they worked it out where Mo is closing.
I like your transparency about how the business works.
This is how it works, baby. I'm DJing and hosting. But you know what's weird? And this is not what we're here to talk about, but people out there, when someone hosts a comedy show,
go ahead.
They are also a comedian.
Right.
And I don't like it when you... I can't say that. I'll say fuckheads.
They're surprised?
I don't like when you fuckheads say, hey, do you do comedy too? I just made you laugh. Matter of fact, I made you laugh 3-4 different segments of the show. You think I'm not also doing comedy?
Oh, they don't recognize.
They don't think of the host as a comedian. They go, hey, you should do a set too. Bitch, I just did my whole set broken up into 5 different pieces. So you saw a whole set. If I was on stage doing, you know, a half hour or whatever.
You know what? And you gave me a lot of gems this week. I'm going to give you a gem.
Okay.
You're taking what they're saying wrong.
Okay, go on.
They're just saying they want more of you. They're just saying, I wish I could have seen a whole set of yours. Because it didn't feel like I got a whole set. It felt like I just got little bits of it.
Snippets.
In your mind, your ego... It wants to be equal, which we all do. No one wants to be like, I'm the opener. We all want to be equal. So you're going, come on, I put my whole set together. It was just broken up. It's not their job to understand that.
Okay.
It's their job to sit there. So they sat there and laughed, and they thought, that slightly obese Puerto Rican guy, I want to hear him more.
Oh, me.
You should do a full set. That's talking about you.
Right.
And you're like, you took it almost as a slight. It's the opposite. They were saying you should have been on as one of the comedians. They were bigging you up. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see your angle. I see your
angle. Is that wrong? Or is that
my No, right? you're making sense. It's just, you're right. It's an ego thing because I want to be, they don't say you're a comedian. They think host is something different, but a comedian is the host. But I see what you're saying. Thank you. Thank you for every person that ever said that to me. My favorite. My favorite is when this is my favorite one though. When they kind of sneak tell me on the low, hey, shh, come here. Hey, you were my favorite one of the show tonight. Bitch, I'm on a show with Dave Chappelle. You're lying. You're fucking lying. But what it means is when you host a show, if you do it correctly, you build that bond with the audience, and they see you more than once. So they develop a relationship with you. So instead of saying, you were my favorite one, just show me a titty or something.
Okay. I was going to say this, though. And real quick, before we continue on, because we always end up rolling into just nothingness.
Yes.
A couple of things. Number one, Mano's coming on the show later.
Thank you.
He's going to talk about what's going on in hip-hop. We're actually going to talk about a somewhat real subject because literally... Hold on. Oh, Syph, you're going to love this. Ready? Rappers are in
danger. Rappers
are in danger. Things are so crazy for rappers right now. There's so many rappers under attack. So we wanted to bring Mano on. He has a song kind of about it.
Yeah.
And he's a friend of ours, so we wanted to have him on. Well, so that's coming up later.
Yeah, I thought you were going to, like, if your fans follow me at Cypher Sounds. My fans follow my boy Rosenberg Radio. Everybody follow Juan Ep is Dead. And if you want to follow Billy June 88 or whatever the fuck his Instagram is.
Why would they want to follow?
Yeah, man. The rap game right now, man, I can't tell you how much I'm happy I'm not in it. It looks fucking crazy from where I'm standing.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that with Mano when he comes on. Billy June sent us a list earlier, literally a list of the rappers who have been, and this is just rappers who have been killed that he sent, because others, you know, Benny's been shot.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he's okay. Boosie was shot.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he's okay. But on this list, and by the way, and good job, Billy June, but sadly, this is not the whole list.
Was Nipsey on that list?
Like, no, Nipsey's not on it. There's way more, but these are really recent, last year change and change.
Yeah.
Pop Smoke, Mac P Dog, Huey.
Hey, Mac P Dog's from Shoreline Mafia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mario, FBG Duck, King Von, Mo 3, Blue Benji Kobe, who I think was signed to Cinematic. I think my brother just had done the deal for him with Hovain.
Ugh.
That deal had just gotten done. So these rappers are literally like, they're just, some of them are bigger like Pop Smoke, or they're really going crazy when they get killed, or Nipsey. And then some are literally
brand
new.
Like, yeah, but like Nipsey was killed, shot in a parking lot. What's that other kid from Florida? The
XXXTentacion.
Yeah.
This doesn't even count the drug ones. In terms of just artists dying overall.
I didn't even think of that, man.
Juice WRLD, Mac Miller.
Ugh.
You know, it's, I know, and then the fact that Mac is even there, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I just say that in regards to like our personal relationship with him and how wonderful he was on the show.
So because of the title, YNAB is dead, we're now just talking about dead rappers?
No. So anyways, we'll get to the dead rapper stuff later with Mano. It is super depressing, but it's important, and it is the kind of thing that like is, you know, us. But another thing I've been meaning to talk to you about, which is very much us also,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit lighter. Have you noticed that Pete Rock has become a Twitter psychopath?
No, I don't go on Twitter whatsoever. So what's happening there?
By the way, congratulations. You win. Because by not going on, your life is better.
I never go on Twitter. The only reason why I went on Twitter recently one time is because I met Andrew Yang with Dave Chappelle. And I told Andrew Yang I would do whatever he needed, if he ever needed a DJ, if he needed a host, whatever he needs. And he goes, okay, I'll send you a message on Twitter. And I was like, Twitter? Oh, fuck, I got to dig that up.
And did he ever send you a message?
Yeah.
And did you ever do anything for him?
Not yet.
He's a great guy.
He's super cool.
Let's be honest, you're using the word cool loosely.
Uh-huh.
He's great, though.
Okay, not high school cool, yeah.
Yeah, no, adult fucking dork cool.
Yeah, dork cool. Yeah, that's what's cool like when you're older.
Dork cools are cool. Yeah, being like a confident dork, that's where it's at.
Well, what's happening with Rock?
Yo, his Twitter game, he's basically a COVID denier.
Really?
He wrote, here's one, where's the vaccine for AIDS, HIV? Where's the vaccine for cancer, diabetes, SMH?
Uh-huh, okay.
How does that sound?
He's got a point.
Vaccine shit is real stupid.
He what?
How you giving a vaccine to people who aren't sick?
Okay.
Syringe emoji.
Yeah, okay, I don't know what's happening. I don't want to knock the guy. I love him to death,
that's too.
That's not what a vaccine is. Vaccine is not the cure. Yeah. He doesn't know what vaccine means. He doesn't know the difference.
Yo, he might be trolling. Because Billy June sent us a tweet. I didn't see this one. Billy June, he really said this? Yeah, while we at it, birth control is stupid. Why are we giving birth control to women who ain't pregnant?
No, he didn't say that. Trolling. Those are replies.
Oh, got it. Okay. Oh, Twitter is going off on him and making fun of him and responding.
Yeah,
and that's some
of
the responses. Billy June, do me a favor. Never send me fucking Twitter responses. Nothing gets me madder. And I'm not mad at you for doing it. It makes sense that you did. But nothing makes me madder than when these days there are news articles about a subject and they go, and Twitter responded. Yeah. And here are some tweets from anonymous fucking strangers. Like, you give a fuck.
Don't give a
fuck. This random, you don't know who they are. You don't know how many followers they have. You don't know if they have any import at all. And the writer cuts and pastes a quote from Twitter and includes it in an article about a real thing. Can you believe what Twitter had to say? I just want the crazy shit that Pete had to say.
Yeah, we got the responses. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. People do that all the time.
All the time.
So, yeah, I don't know when Pete became this. We might have to get him on the show and ask.
Yeah.
Because we love him.
Is he anti-masker?
I think he's been an anti-masker at times. I think he's been, he has just been, he, let me put it this way. Pete Rock on social media has earned that dreaded word you don't want to hear in 2020.
What is it?
On social media, uh-oh, Pete Rock is, uh-oh, wait for it, problematic.
Oh, no. Is he?
Pete is problematic. Really? On a lot of subjects.
On a lot of subjects.
Yeah, a lot of subjects that, let me put it this way, some of the opinions he has about social issues are not the adore, let them all hang out, Pete, if you know what I'm saying.
We don't have to keep doing this over and over. I don't care how rappers feel. I don't. It doesn't affect me. It's cool to read through it and get a little laugh, but it doesn't, like, I don't believe in this. I don't care what you think about politics or government or fucking vaccines, yo. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you for information.
You know what? And by the way, so I'm glad you said that, because last Sunday, I started my week with my Sunday with this, and I realized this may be the best Sunday morning rap song of all time.
Okay, hold on. Hold up. There are a lot of amazing Sunday rap songs. A lot.
I just said may. I didn't say it is.
Okay.
But if you and I go to work together and put together our favorite, we should do it, a One Up Is Dead playlist.
Yeah.
Sunday morning hip hop. Tell me where this goes.
Add a little sugar. Honeysuckle and a great big expression of happiness. Boy, you couldn't be with a dozen roses.
Mr. West.
Such what a style. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings.
Do it for the forefathers, yeah, the street authors that are now A&Rs in a cheap office. Rappers that never get signed, but they keep offers. Girls is way too fine for us to keep.
Yo, I'm so grateful for this song happening.
Shake only for my man's sake. She in a birthday suit cause of the damn
cake. Let's get to the part. Come on.
Now it's crumbs all over the damn place, and she want me to come all over her damn face.
Oh.
I never understood Planned Parenthood cause I never met nobody planned to be a parent
in the hood. It was so random when that song came about, too.
That is a Sunday vibe.
Right? Is that not a Sunday morning vibe?
That's a Sunday morning vibe.
Pete Rock, Hove, and Jay-Z. And you probably remember, because I've told you about this story 1,000 times, that the first time I met Jay-Z when I was a board op, God, at this point I wonder if the Juan Ep heads who are listening are just like Rosenberg. We know this verbatim. But when I interviewed him at WP...
I DJed for Little Kim before.
What? Well, since when? So we were, I was running the board for PGC, and Tigger was gone, and Hove came in to do the interview. He wasn't Hove, by the way. He was Jay-Z. And he was sitting there, and I just ran the board with Jay-Z in the room, and I was like, hey, who are your favorite producers? And he was like, nah, who are your favorite producers? And I was like, which, by the way, it's such a telling thing about him as a person that that's what he was like even back then. It's like 99, 2000.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, Pete Rock. He was like, oh, Pete Rock's awesome. I was like, why don't you ever do a song with Pete Rock? He was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it was talked about before, but it just never happened. And then it still never happened. That's in 99, 2000. Never happened all the way up until The Joy.
And what year was that?
It came out of nowhere.
2015? 2010?
Something like that. Shit. Watch the Throne's 10 years old. Yeah, it's 2010.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
And he says on the record, Pete Rock, let the needle drop. Yo, it's just like, it's such a great random thing to have happened.
Yeah, I love how hip hop Hove is.
Oh, me too. It's the best quality.
Yeah, like.
People are probably like, shut up, enough about Hove.
You know what? Is there any way we could do something in depth about Hove?
Sife, maybe we could hire a producer who could not understand our vibe as humans any less, right? Force us into a box with this person and make us squeeze out something that while it's pretty good, it was so challenging to do because no one understood how to operate together at all.
No, it's our fault. It's our fault. We got tired of doing the entire YNAP process by ourselves and enlisted some help and realizing no one even understood YNAP.
And the result was what you heard with the J podcast. Now, by the way, there were episodes, I know you probably never listened, there were some episodes that were good.
I'm sure it was all good.
It was pretty good. But it wasn't what we wanted.
We did some interviews. Like the Clark Kent interview was so, oh my God, do we have those?
Didn't you ask for everything? It's you.
I probably have them. We did the Clark Kent interview was so classic. YNAP.
Yep, and Scratch.
And DJ Scratch. Classic YNAP, the stuff that we never heard before, where we were like, hey, for these episodes, let's just let these rock. And the amount of arguments we got and the frustration and
maybe it's us. Maybe it's not just us. And I don't say that just to say maybe it's us, like we make bad decisions. Maybe we're just like obnoxious and people hate us.
We're not understood because we're not obnoxious people. I'll say that for sure. We're misunderstood.
By the way, though, you are intimidating.
And you are annoying.
Yes. Wow. That's really accurate. You are intimidated, and I am annoyed.
But now, you wouldn't say I'm intimidating to you now.
No, you know, if I was brand new, you don't. Michael Kay has a term to describe how Sypha operates. Okay. You don't suffer fools.
I just found my tattoo, guys.
Sypha Sounds does not suffer
fools. Yo, bro, if you're in a room with me and you say some stupid shit, you can physically see my face.
Yes,
go.
He did. I can't believe I've never said that before. Yo, that is it.
Yo, I don't
you
suffer fools.
You do not suffer fools. Yo,
I'm out. I don't have. There's not enough time in life. Our producer, who was a talented person, and
for sure, very talented,
would say things, and my face is like, I can't deal with this. This is a waste of time. We just recorded the illest Clark Kent interview about Hove, which could have been the whole series, you know what I mean, by itself.
And then it was like, but Sife, we need to get a question about how he met Beyonce. And Sife's face would, like, he'd be like, I don't care about Beyonce in the context of this podcast.
Not what we were talking about. And it was like, somebody's trying to make YNAP mainstream. Yes, thank you. That was the job you were told you were supposed to do. So I guess tying in Beyonce to the...
Made sense.
It makes perfect sense. Not in the YNAP world. We try to combine two different things. In the Sypha Sounds and Rosenberg world, it might have made more sense. If Sypha Sounds and Rosenberg...
dead and gone.
Huh?
I said that world's dead and gone.
No, but here's the thing. When YNAP is dead fails, we're gonna start a new podcast called Sypha Sounds and Rosenberg is dead.
Is dead.
But yeah,
he can't.
The classic story that we always tell is when we had Kanye for the short amount of time, Kim Kardashian was in the room with us. We didn't look at that bitch. We had
whoa.
No disrespect.
No disrespect.
In a hip hop colloquialism type of way. We didn't look at that woman. I had no questions for her. I wanted to know what Oli Watt, what is it again? The Oli Watt do was. Meant. I didn't care.
Hit you with the Oli Watt do.
Yeah, I didn't care about Kim Kardashian. As in a YNAP hip hop sense, she was a very nice person. I was happy to meet. It's always cool to meet a celebrity. She was.
I actually did end up sleeping with her.
Perfect.
I should mention that.
Perfect.
Right. But we didn't talk about it in the
it's
interview.
It's not about that.
No.
If Beyonce came to an interview with Jay-Z, I'd be like, Beyonce, I'm a huge fan of what you've done. You're amazing. You can sit over here and keep quiet.
Well, that would be. I don't know if that would.
I wouldn't say it like that, but you know what I'm saying.
No. You would say, hey, make yourself at home. Yes. We hope you enjoy our conversation with Jay-Z.
Yes.
That's what, because that's what this is for in a hip-hop con. Now, if we had signed up for a podcast about Beyonce, that would have to be a separate branded thing altogether, not one ep. Fascinating. She's one of the greatest and biggest superstars of all time, but it's not.
You know what's so funny? So anyways, it's funny you say that.
We tried.
I would love to get a one ep style interview with Beyonce.
Ooh, that would be
because lit. There's never been one.
No,
like the one ep Jay-Z episode where he was talking about his book. That, you know how ill that interview is. If we could ask those type of questions with Beyonce and ask her what hip hop she grew up listening to in Houston, I bet you that would be a fire interview. I've never heard Beyonce talk about any of that stuff.
It would be gigantic, but the thing is, part of my criticism sometimes of Beyonce is she sculpts the narrative on herself 100%.
It's never going to happen. But to get her guard down, talking dope shit would...
Oh, no. If she opened herself up to things like that, it would go great. But my point is, that's the thing about Beyonce. Yeah,
it's too...
When she does documentaries, they're produced by Beyonce.
Yeah.
Everything is sort of part
everything.
Of her machine.
Everything.
To me, it makes it uninteresting. I would make everything. The argument that even Michael, who was much... He was even less accessible in some ways than Beyonce. But every few years, he did full-on sit-downs.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he just sat and was like, all right, Oprah, go. All right, what was the guy's name? Brashear. Follow me for 3 days. That's where we found out how big of a lunatic Michael was, because he let dude follow him around.
And then he had a sit down with him. You know what they never...
And by the way, that stuff happened real quick. Michael only became that elusive later.
Right.
Like, he'd already had a whole run of being a young artist where he did press and he did... Beyonce, basically, once she became Beyonce, press was over.
Yeah, why risk it? But you know, they say when Michael had that sit down, I think it was like in a studio or something. Remember, it was like, and he had to sit when it was, they talked for hours and they didn't realize this. And then when he stood up and got out of the chair, there was a young boy under, there was a young boy.
All right, let's bring in Mano, because that was just inappropriate and you can't do it in 2020. One Ep is dead for real. One Ep is dead. All right, let's bring in Mano, shall we?
Billy June, where's Mano?
Coming in right now.
Oh, shit.
Mano!
Good morning, my guys. What's happening?
Mano, no one told you should have...
I love this.
I've been to your house where you are right now. You have a full microphone set up, yet you don't want to use a microphone to talk to us.
No, because it's too much. I got to set it up and all that. I got like 4 mics back there. Yep.
Yeah. He's in. Mano is literally sitting in where he does his podcast.
Yep.
Where there's microphones and headphones and recording devices. And he's talking to us on his, I'm assuming, an iPhone.
Yeah.
That is
Can
correct.
You hear me clearly?
Yeah, we hear you pretty good, though. It's doable.
Nobody gives a shit about us, Rosenberg.
No.
Rosenberg, you want me to get my laptop and my headphones?
No. I would never expect that of you. And by the way, he sat there waiting for us like a gentleman. He's just jumping on with us. I'm not going to make him do work. And the reason we're doing this is, since we're back, we have to talk to Mano because we love him and he's a friend of the show. And also, Mano has an album, Die a Legend, that's out right now.
Yep, indeed.
And Syfe sent me a song yesterday. That was how I heard it. That I can't say the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mano, you can say it.
Young Niggas.
And this song struck me, and I want to play a little piece of it. Syfe, what do you think?
Oh, that's what we're here for.
All right, here we go. Let's play a piece of the song with that title by Mano.
That title.
GQ beats. Music was supposed to be a way out. Music was supposed to be a way out for us. That was living a certain type of lifestyle or a way out for us to try to do better. You understand what I'm saying? Like, since really music, being a rapper, being in the music business, become more dangerous. This shit that we escape.
I just said a prayer for my young niggas. I'm starting to fear for these young niggas. Ain't nothing fair to a young nigga.
Just know I'm here for my young niggas. Gave him all that time, he's a young nigga. Died before his time, just a young nigga. I can never judge him, he's my young nigga. And I know just how it feels to be a young nigga. We was on them corners with them packs dealing. Fuck school, make a million off a crack selling. A life full of riches, that's what we was thinking. We was headed for destruction, but couldn't see it. Ghetto boys, black males feeling trapped. We struggle with our father figures, so we got attached to the street life. No shortcuts, trying to cheat life. What you saw is what you read, right? Wish I would've known before I knew they had a cell waiting for us. A shot away from death, they had a grave waiting for us. The shit we thought we got away, they made us pay for it. All that karma coming back, wait for it. Hey, I just said a prayer for my street niggas. But my fear is I'm not able to reach niggas. I just hope that they feel me when I speak, nigga. And this is pain, homie, I ain't trying to preach, nigga. Who am I to judge? I got ops too. And it's true, if I have to, I'ma slide too. Yeah, I get it, boy, I understand that life for you. But just know, I'm the nigga that's gon' ride for you. I just said a prayer for my young niggas. I'm starting to fear for these young niggas. Ain't nothing fair to
so,
a young nigga.
My
rough,
question,
man, that's rough.
My question I have for you, Mano, and you can get that song on Die a Legend, which is out right now, is which shooting or murder of a young artist was it that inspired you to do this? Because I have never in all my years following this game seen this level of consistent violence towards young artists.
I like the way you put that. Consistent violence against artists. I'm just like you. I'm watching the game just like you. I'm watching what's happening. And I feel like we've never been in this place. If I can't actually sit here and tell you that I'm not affected. I think that we all are. And as an artist and as a person that came from the street, being able to navigate myself away from the street, having an opportunity to change my life and having an opportunity to look back on some of my past behavior and some of the things I've been involved with, it's just sad. It's sad. So I can't say exactly which one. I think it is the fact that it's been consistent. Pop Smoke death personally bothered me. We had just met up in LA, and then when I got to New York, we met up. Well, he sent me a song to do. I did the song, and then I went to his album release party. He died maybe I think 2 weeks later after that. Mm-hmm. That really touched me. I went to his funeral. It was in Bed-Stuy, and it really touched me. And just to see the back-to-back shootings and killings of a lot of these young artists, and not just artists, just a lot of the young black men just not being able to live to their full potential. It just touched me.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. This is not where I wanted to go. I feel a little teary-eyed. Listening to that, I listened to it yesterday when you dropped it, and then I'm listening to it right now with you on the call with us, on the podcast with us. I feel a little teary eyed, man, because I'm not 100% in the rap game anymore like I was before, and I see the headlines and I see the stories of these young artists getting killed, and I kind of remove myself from it because I don't want to deal with it. And then we decided that we want to talk about it today, especially because of the video you dropped yesterday. And so Billy June sent me a list of all these rappers that have been killed. Bro, it's heartbreaking, man.
It's
heartbreaking that, like, you know, and then, like, it's so weird because I was with Pop Smoke. I met him in London for the first time in February. I was in London with Dave Chappelle for a whole month. And we went to the club. I have no idea Pop Smoke was going to be there. Pop Smoke and the other guy from Harlem. I got hoes, Mobama. And they did a little show in the club in London. I walked up to Pop. I said, I'm gonna go say what's up to him. I never met him. And all the kids around them knew who I was. And that made me feel good. Like, yo, I was like, hey, I'm Cypher. And they were like, yo, don't do that, OG. Like, nigga, like, what you mean you Cypher? We know who you is. And then I met him, so cool, literally like 2 or 3 days later, he got killed. You know what I'm saying? And then who's the other one that recently? Not got killed, but Benny the Butcher got shot. I brought him and West Side Gunn to Dave Chappelle. Maybe Dave Chappelle is the fucking problem here. I brought West Side Gunn and Dave Chappelle to Dave's show in Atlanta as he was getting ready for SNL. And that's the first time I met Benny. And then he gets shot. Thank God he didn't die. But what's different? What's going on nowadays that's so different than before? Because...
Well, is it a matter? Do you think, Mano, it's a matter of just like, is this a direct result of COVID and people not having and communities being more without than usual?
I don't think it's that. I don't know if that's a factor. I feel like a lot of times as young artists, we make ourselves accessible to some of the lifestyle that we came from. I'm not sure if it's a result of what's been going on with the nation as far as the COVID or whatever, but I just feel like it's nothing special about being an artist no more, about being a rapper. Like it used to be a time when, you know, being a rapper meant something. It felt like something. And it just feels like it's just being a rapper just been so trivialized, like, you know. And then from a police perspective, law enforcement probably look at being a street nigga and a rapper as the same thing. And they've been showing us that the way that they've been running around, standing on top of people's heads with these indictments, that there's a correlation between young street nigga and rapper, that there's really no difference. You may have talent, but you really represent some of the stuff that we're trying to get rid of. And as other young black males, like a lot of these artists already coming into the game with a lot of enemies, a lot of back and forth bickering. And then, you know, and even in Pop Smoke case, which I felt like was just some crazy shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, you got other young kids that's jealous, that want stuff. Like, it's always been dangerous for artists, always. But now it's just,
Does the social make it work? Does the social make it worse of the being able to show off and people choosing to show what they have so much?
I think it makes you more accessible. The social media, the wanting and the needing to show everything. I'm not going to put all the blame on social media, but I feel like it helps ignite some of the fire, the back and forth, the making it easier for people to take a look at your life and to maybe envy you, or maybe look and see that they want to get a piece of what you got, or you know, or even if we enemies. See, I come to the game. When I came in the game, I had a lot of unresolved issues in the street, but it wasn't no social media. You understand what I'm saying? It was like, you know, we was moving a little bit different.
How do you? So I guess the question is, when you start to blow up, do you right away start feeling that pressure of like you're hearing shit and that there are people potentially interested in getting at you? And how did you, you were gone for a long time. So was it being gone for so long that kind of separated you from it? Or the second you got out of jail and High Hater and all the above blew up, did you feel the pressure again?
Nah, because it was a while before. Like when I got out of jail, it was a couple of years before High Hater and all the above came. So I went directly back to the street. So a lot of the stuff that I was involved with in the street, I had, you know, certain issues that were still happening. Like I had, you know, created certain issues for myself that were fresh after I came out in prison. But like I said, you know, You have to know how to move, and it wasn't social media back then, so it wasn't as accessible. You wasn't as easy. You know, only way people could see you was if you was at a certain place. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if I'm just old now, and it seems like there's a lot more than before. But mind you, listen,
way more,
right? And like I've been in shootouts. And I've been on tour with Lil' Kim. I've been on the road with other rappers. Like I've been, and I, even just being in nightclub. I'm not saying.
Wait, Saif, you went on tour with Lil' Kim?
When I say shut up. When I say I've been in shootouts, I mean I've been around people shooting. Never was I busting back. Never was I on the other end. Oh, blah blah. No. But here's the thing though. Where we come from, not Rosenberg, but Rosenberg, you're not going to understand this.
All right, hold on.
Where we come from, why is it... No, don't mute yourself. Come back, buddy.
All right, sorry. I'm back.
Why is it we can laugh about being shot at? Why is it like the? Why is it funny to tell these stories of almost getting killed?
Trauma. True trauma.
Trauma. And, bro, I had a couple of times where I've been around shots. I don't think anyone was ever shooting at me. And I love telling the story of, like, being with Little Kim. We had to run out of the club. The van we were in, the window got shot out. And I was ducking down in the van, and I could have been killed over trying to make my lousy $300 for that show. But we laugh about it. And I don't know if it's gotten out of control where, like, people are trying to, like, show how tough they are or the social media aspect where I could find you much easier because you put your fucking location in the Instagram posts.
Also, it feels a little bit like sometimes the post, and I am not trying to blame, put all of this on social media, nor am I trying to victim blame by blaming the rappers who are showing off. However... No. When you just post stacks of money and jewelry.
Or to your ear.
Exactly. And you're showing it to the people who follow you, many of which have nothing. I've heard forever in this game about the wolves that are out there. And the wolves are going to eat, et cetera, et cetera. All the terminology I've heard over the years. When you go on social and you post that, Mano, aren't you sort of just like hanging beef in front of hungry dogs and be like, ha, 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 I got lots of delicious beef here.
You know, the fact that we normalize the trauma, right? You know, getting shot at, almost getting killed, you know, those become badges of honor in the hood. And that's been like that for years, though. Been like that since before social media.
Before any of us.
Yeah, way before us. Like, you know, long time ago, you know, to escape some of these situations, these trials, and to come out and still be able to talk about it, that's always been for us in our communities as a badge of honor. I don't put all the blame on social media, like I said, but it brings things to a centralized place, you know. And there is a beef culture between a lot of these artists. Like, you know, a lot of these artists, we hear about them because of the back and forth that they got going on.
Right.
That's
right.
How they get their numbers up. That's how they get lit. This is the culture.
Yeah.
And they don't want to leave that alone because that's what's getting their numbers, which driving the traffic to their pages, and then we hear about them. And next thing you know, they have a record. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of them. And I love all of them. I love all of them coming from Brooklyn to New York. Like, so it's not even about you know, judging them, because I get it. We all come from, you know, a place where some of the things that we did wasn't always right in our best journey, but it was like we did it because we felt this was the only choice that we had.
Correct.
I just want, so here's the thing, that my last question on this. If you are an artist who comes up, maybe the beef exists because it was part of getting you hot. But like, for example, the other day I was struck by, there was a picture that went around of Lil Baby. And Lil Baby, you could clearly see, allegedly, because of the pictures, you could see had a gun in his sweatshirt, right? And he's like meeting people, shaking hands with celebrities, and has a gun on.
That's right.
And Lil Baby's a really smart artist, right? His music is deep. He's an incredible, he's an artist. He's a real artist.
Right, he's an artist.
He's not just a street dude who's making music. He's an artist.
Right.
But if you've gotten to a point now where the people, you're so closely related to things, you still have family that's in certain neighborhoods and they're close to certain people. So basically you have all these connections still to potential drama, to the point that as rich as he is and as successful as he has to walk around with a gun on his person. Is there a way to remove yourself from that? Like, how do you even extricate yourself from that?
That's crazy, because you start to feel like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Mm. Being prepared is something that we always, because of the nature of and the climate that we living in, I could feel that. I relate to that wholeheartedly. We got to be ready, you know, because especially if we moving around in different cities and we moving around in unfamiliar places with unfamiliar faces, like, we don't know who's who. We don't know everybody's intention. We already at a disadvantage when more people know who we are than we know who they are. So every room you walk in,
that's a good point.
Know who you are. So you always at a disadvantage, and every person doesn't have the proper intentions, or every person doesn't have the truest in his heart. Like, he doesn't have the intentions of meaning you well, and it's just this always a negative atmosphere, no matter where you go. I'm not saying that every place you go is going to be negative, but there's a chance for it to be. And being prepared, sad to say, but it is what it is. And sometimes you got to take them chances.
You, Mano, you, I've known you for a long time, man. I consider Mano a brother. Sorry, Rosenberg, the way black people say it.
Right, I got it. I follow at this point. I'm 40 now. So
okay. I've seen you squash multiple beefs with yourself, with other people. I've also seen you be in tense situations and calm people down and make everybody happy again and lovey-lovey. Where did you get that skill set from? Where did you get that talent from?
Good question.
Because I've seen other rappers where there's some tension brewing and they throw gasoline on the fire. Right. Mano is like, nah, let's bring this down. We all here to have fun. I also seen Mano allegedly punch people in the face, but we're not getting into that.
Allegedly.
It's just about,
let's make it make sense, right? So what's the real true narrative of our struggle as being young street men, right? Mm-hmm. The real true narrative is music, and the opportunity to do music was always looked at as a way out, right?
Correct.
So it's counterproductive for us to get this opportunity and then become felons and then get killed, then go to jail. Like, so for me, it's like, after a while, I have to rationalize and look at it from a real perspective. Let's look around, bro. Like, look what we escape.
Yeah.
Look what we escape. That alone should be enough initiative and motivation for us to turn some of the shit down, because we have the opportunity to live. See, let me tell you something. I never cared about living until I got an opportunity to live. Mm. Living wasn't important to me when I didn't have nothing to look forward to.
Right.
When you feel hopeless and you feel like, man, it's whatever. You feel that way based on your circumstances. But if you were given the opportunity to see more and do more, then you start to appreciate the life that you have. And you start to appreciate just being here, an opportunity. Every day we got another day, another shot at being great, bro. Every day. Every day.
Every
it's
day.
Never over. As every long day. As we free, as long as we free, as long as we alive, as long as we healthy, we got a shot at something. But when you don't have that hope, and you feel a sense of despair, and you feel hopeless, you don't feel that way. So of course, when I see things that can be turned down, yo, look, nah, we're not doing that. Yo, listen, years ago, I did a video in my neighborhood in Brooklyn. I brought Chameleon there. Remember Chameleon there?
Yeah.
Years ago, I brought Chameleon there to Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Years ago. This was years ago. I didn't have...
How long? Was it years ago?
It was years ago, I'm feeling.
This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Just years ago.
It was probably, I say probably around years ago.
Probably around years ago, right? Because I didn't have no hit yet. I didn't have no hi-hat or none of that.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't even signed to Atlantic then. I was signed to Universal. See, my first deal was... I was signed to Universal. Remember Rumors? I got hot off with Rumors. Uh-huh. And then from Rumors, it got me my deal with Universal. And then me and Chameleon got cool. And he was hot. He was on fire.
Yeah.
With the right when he was on fire, we got cool, and he came to my video in Fort Greene, and I remember it was some people that I grew up with that wanted to rob him. To this day, we don't speak.
Really?
To this day.
Wait, because you blocked? You were like, nah, that's not happening? No.
What's wrong with you, boy? Like, are you crazy? He here with me. You nuts? Are you nuts?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like that don't even make no sense. I'm going to personally bring him here, and then I'm going to let you do that?
Yeah.
To this day, me and dude that we got into that back and forth exchange of words because of that. Because I got integrity, bro. Like, that's never going to happen. And it didn't happen. So, you know, I just say that to say, like, for me, having integrity and having principle is important. And then when you have those things, then you stand for something, then you move a certain type of way. It helps you move a certain kind of way, because there's certain shit I'm just not doing. It's just certain places. Well,
where did you get that from? Did somebody help instill that in you?
Yeah.
Like, this is these are lessons that I'd see people talk about, like, yo, my dad used to da 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 da. I never had a dad.
Right.
So I picked up my integrity from different places and listening to the, you know, I was a 5%er music, and then I met people like Funkmaster Flex and Chris Lighty. You know, I picked up all these little tidbits. Where did you get it from? Because I see you give it to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who was your Shaolin master?
It was a number of people that I looked up to growing up. I felt like they possessed a certain flair about them. They the way that they patterned themselves, like they were real people persons. And on top of that, they had code, and you know, and conversations told to me as a kid growing up was that you're supposed to always have a code. You're supposed to always have integrity. You're supposed to live off of your principles. That was told to me as a teenager, you know, in the street. And then as I went to prison, you learn that quick, because you have to learn how to live with a bunch of other niggas. Mm-hmm. Right? And you gotta learn how to move. And part of learning how to move is how to conduct yourself. You understand? And how to be humble and how to be aggressive when you need to be. It's different when you have to live it a certain kind of way. See, social media got it to where it's like you could just say anything, do anything, be who you not, run your mouth, and then not have consequences. And then when the consequences do come down, it's like, oh, it was only social media. Like, I don't understand that. Be who you are, own who you are, be the person that you mm-hmm. say you are mm-hmm. all the time. You understand? So that's it for me. But going back to what you said, as far as like how I got like that, that's the foundation and the cornerstone of a man, though.
That is some basic stuff that maybe some people just don't understand at all. Right. Do you ever have any moments when you first got to jail and there were all these people around where you just like laid down at night and almost freaked out on account of that? Like, I just can't believe I'm stuck with fucking all these people. Like, I just want to be fucking alone in a bed with a girl. Like, you know, that must have just been incredibly difficult.
Many nights. You know what's so strange about
that? How many nights you think?
Many.
Okay, many nights. Many. Many nights.
You know I repeat myself. You know I'm old. Listen.
No, I was wondering if it was many or if it was like
many. A few. It's like, for me, it was a lot of years ago. Like,
many years ago. And many nights.
Yeah, listen. You know what was strange? When every time I went to sleep, like in the daytime and took a nap, I always woke up dreaming of I was free. It never felt crazy. It never changed. Every time I went to sleep in the daytime and took a nap for about an hour or two, I always woke up.
Oh,
always woke up like, man, I can't believe I'm in here. It's times when it hits you like that.
But not when you went to bed at night. The dreams always happen during naps for the most part?
Yeah. For some reason, at night is when I would, you know, lay awake and think, you know, and you know, sometimes at night you get emotional and you think about your life, you think about where it's going. And the scary part about being that young and being in prison is just not knowing where your life is going. That's scary for me, is because you start to see people go home and then come right back. And you start to see, is this going to be my fate? Is this what I'm going to be for the rest of my life? Because one day I'm going to go home. And then what? Am I going to be right back here?
Yeah. How old were you when you got there?
17.
Wow. 17, man. Damn.
Younger than my son. My son just turned 18. And we had a talk about me spending my birthdays his age while I was in prison, you know, and I had been getting in trouble way before that. So, you know, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven, you know. But like I said, you know, not knowing where your life is going to go is scary. But we was able to, you know, get a hold of ourselves and turn the energy around.
Nah, man, your story, Mano, honestly, not just saying this, I was thinking about it before you came on. It's special. Like, you have every bit of the makings of the first part of your story,
mm-hmm.
to have ended with when you got out, former rapper killed and blah, 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 some terrible story. That ending was all set up for you.
Right.
You had to do everything to make sure that wasn't the ending.
Right. Right.
And now you're hanging out with your son who's 18 years old, doesn't even understand a bit about how you lived your life when you were his age.
Nah, not at all. You know, those endings were set up for us way before that. You know, they tell us growing up, we ain't going to make it to 18, and then we ain't going to make it to 21. So making it to 30 was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, you know?
And we won't mention that, you know, 40's out there looming for you.
Whatever, but... you know, making it to these places, those are milestones. Those are, you know, coming, because you see so much, right? You see friends, you hear stories. We, like, you don't even have to be from the hood just to be affected by the trauma that you see. You know what I mean? Like, in my neighborhood, a 1-year-old kid got killed behind a shooting this past summer. Like, come on, like, you don't have to be from the hood to be affected by that.
No,
anyone can,
man. But I here's what I like about Mano. He has a project out right now called
Die a Legend.
Yeah,
and we want him to get to legend status before he dies. I want him to die 103 years old.
That's what it's about, though. It's not about dying. And people say, why you know with all the stuff that's going on, why you named it that? Is because I was inspired by everything that's happened. Because we here for a certain amount of time, and then once we're not here, you know, we should have lived so hard. We should have done so much that we literally, you know, die a legend. You understand? So it's about actually living and doing more. Like, if God forbid something happened to me today, I feel like I haven't done enough. You know what I mean? So I need to spend my time, you know, doing more, inspiring more, you know what I mean? And let my actions be motivation for others. You understand? So that we leave something, because if my legacy is only that I was a real nigga, then I hadn't done enough.
Yeah. But it's funny you say that you need to do more, because me and Mano are working on a secret project. You'll know about it soon, Peter.
Yeah.
And,
really?
Yeah.
And I went to Mano's house. And in his kitchen, where he is right now, he got the whole podcast set up. This guy's not letting COVID ruin his life. He got a whole podcast set up in the kitchen. He got girls coming through cooking meals for the podcast. We have none of that. We have no girls cooking us snacks or bringing us Taco Bell or nothing. Then you go down to his basement, and he got his little studio set up where he said to me, "Sif, I engineer myself. I'm not waiting. If people can't come out because of COVID or whatever, I'm not waiting." He got someone to teach him how to record, and he records himself. Like, there's no excuses, bro.
Especially
no excuses.
No excuses.
Hey, Mano, we love you, man. Thanks for jumping on with us.
I love y'all, man. Y'all already know, man. It's all good.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Die a Legend's out right now. Peace, bud.
Peace.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's favorite. Mano.
Wait, hold on. Make sure he left. You know, you in Zoom, you got to press leave the meeting.
No, he's gone.
He might still be listening to us.
But were you going to say something bad about him?
No, but you never know. He might take something the wrong way.
We just said he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. I actually really love Mano. Me and him been talking a lot lately, man. And
yeah, you said there's a secret project.
Secret project. Mano had an idea for a show, a very funny show, and me and my boy wrote it, and we shot it and everything. It's hilarious.
Yo, man, that episode we did of This Is Hot 97 with Mano is pretty good.
Son, so good. He's so good.
When he that whole part when he goes, yeah, we're gonna come over and watch wrestling, and I'm like, oh yeah, and he's like, just me, you, my boy, and your wife. his humor every time he'd be like, and your wife was always so funny.
Yeah,
he's naturally really good.
Great guy, man, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy he got a project out. I'm happy he's alive, talking someone an OG to talk to these young dudes to try to stay safe out there, man. It's fucked up what's happening.
Now, real quick, before we put a bow on this episode, hey, Billy June, have you set up the Patreon yet? Like, is there a way that people, if they need more already, can pay and get more? Is that set up or nah?
It's not yet. Because I thought that we should discuss what we were going to do for the Patreon before we set it up.
But somebody might even, there might be a one-up hardcore fan that just wants to throw us a couple.
You already have one set up.
No, I don't.
They might want to throw us a couple dollars, Billy. They might want to throw us a couple dollars.
Yeah, Billy June, I think we got to set this up because we already have stuff to put in the stash.
We do.
So, but I don't.
What happened to the old one?
I have to go look at it, but what's it even connected to? I mean, I thought the reason I like this new iteration of One Up, Billy June, is because you started everything from scratch.
Yeah, I agree.
So start the Patreon as One Up is dead.
One Up is dead.
You think there are people still giving us money? If I look, I feel bad for whoever forgotten is still giving us a couple of shekels every month.
Yo, and if there's bread in there, you better split it.
Yeah, I will. I got to see if I can log in even. But Billy June, set up a new one right now, and I feel comfortable in saying that if you set it up as One Ep is Dead, it will be the only One Ep is Dead on Patreon.
All right.
All right. So by the time people hear this, they can go to the Patreon.
Hopefully, yeah.
And find some other little things. We're going to give bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll chuck in an old episode every once in a while.
Chuck in some old stuff and some actual, like, different kind of content. Right. I have an idea.
Dick pics.
We're going to drop dick pics. I'm actually going to start another podcast that I might just do on the Patreon. I'm actually going to start the Wanette Present. I should probably talk to you about this off air.
Yeah, sure.
Probably. I'm going to start the Wanette Presents Wan Volume.
Ooh, and what's on that?
Wan Volume, I think, is the Wanette geared more into my comedy life.
Ooh, Wan Volume.
Wan Volume. And anytime you want to be on Wan Volume,
can I jump in and co-host anytime I want?
Anytime, bro. But it's just Wan has to do some stuff of his part of his new life.
I love that.
Wan Volume, baby.
All right, so go check out our Patreon. We follow us on all the socials. And that's it. We'll catch you next time, right?
Billy.
Yes.
Can you help produce Wan Volume, as in do everything?
Sure.
Let me come up with a good outro song. We got to end with
a song. Let's leave. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Many years ago.
How about this?
Many years ago. Many.
Show me that smile again. Show me that smile. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near. The best is ready to begin. Ooh, as long as we got each other.
Yo, this is definitely a bootleg cover.
Yeah, it definitely is.
That's not them.
It's fine. And right, you know what? You know what? We are a bootleg cover.
One of is dead.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.